Today in the letter to the Romans, St. Paul stresses that the most important decision we make in life is whether we're going to live according to the Holy Spirit or according to the flesh. It's a choice with consequences not only for our happiness in this world, but forever. Right before this passage, St. Paul says that those who are living according to the flesh are concerned with the things of the flesh. They put their faith, hope, and love in money, in what money can buy. Their hearts are set on the things of this world, on earthly pleasures, power, vanity, fame, passing luxuries. In the letter to Galatians, he lists the behaviors that flow from living according to the flesh. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, and so on. And he stresses, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't inherit the kingdom because, as he writes to the Romans, they do not submit to the law of God and cannot please God, since basically their whole life is just about pleasing themselves. St. Paul stresses, on the other hand, that Christ died and rose to fill us with his Spirit. And if his Spirit dwells in us, he will help us to live a new, risen life like Jesus's. That's why the Lord emphasized today in words that are fundamental for the Christian life. Consequently, we're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But rather, St. Paul emphasizes, those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For we didn't receive a spirit of slavery to bring us into fear, but a spirit of adoption through which we cry out, Abba, Father. And if we have this divine filiation, then we will be co-heirs with Christ of all that the Father has given. By Christ's resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit, God has made it possible for us to live truly as Christians, to live as beloved sons and daughters of God the Father, to seek the things that are above the things of God, and to seize the eternal treasure of Christ of which God has made us heirs. In order to do this, though, we've got to make a consequential choice. St. Paul says we have to put to death the deeds of the body. It's not going to happen without an act of the will. It's not going to occur without a choice. We need to mortify the temptation to live according to the way everybody else lives so that we can live according to how God wills. Today in the Gospel, Jesus makes the same point, stressing that we, in a brutal, cutthroat, bottom-line manner, need to make the choice to stop living according to the flesh and begin living for the things of God. He does so by means of what for many Catholics is by far the most confusing parable in the Gospel, what is normally called the parable of the dishonest steward, something that can get people to wonder whether truth incarnate is praising a crooked business manager for deception, whether he who gave us the commandment, thou shalt not steal, is himself praising somebody for breaking it. But Jesus is doing no such thing. But in order to grasp what he's saying and doing, we have to understand a little bit about how promissory notes, business loans, worked in the ancient world. In the parable, a manager is about to get sacked because he was squandering the property of his business owner. His boss gave him his pink slip and told him to do an audit of the books prior to his dismissal. So this man called in his mostly tenant farmers who owed his employer money or items and reduced considerably their debts. At first glance, this seems like dishonesty, as if he were allowing debtors to steal from his boss, but it wasn't. In the ancient world, the way loans were conducted was that the business manager or broker would be paid by adding something onto what was borrowed, rather than taking a percentage of the master's proceeds. For example, if somebody borrowed 50 barrels of oil, he would have to pay back 50 to the master, and another 10, or 30, or 50 to the broker, whatever the broker thought he could get. This dishonest steward was probably tacking on way too big of a commission, and in order to maximize his profits, was probably, like Fannie and Freddie earlier this century, lending his master's goods out to those who were very bad risks. Hence, when the manager called in those who owed, for example, 100 containers of wheat and reduced the amount to 80, What he was probably doing was eliminating most, if not all, of his commission. Therefore, he wasn't really allowing them to steal. Rather, he was eliminating his own take. Faced with the decision of saving his life by making friends who would take care of him after he was fired, or trying to hold on to the end of the possibility of making money via these commissions, he chose to save his life. His master, and Jesus through the master in the parable, calls this prudent and wise. What's the application for us this warm Sunday? Why is this worth listening to? Jesus wants us to place ourselves in the position of that dishonest steward. God has given each of us tremendous gifts on the basis of which we've made profits in life, or at least tried to. He's given us our hands, which we use to work. He's given us our minds, which we use to think. He's given us our families and friends, education, lives, and so many other blessings. With these gifts, we have profited and made a manifold commission. But have we been using those gifts fundamentally to build up our kingdom or His kingdom? To do our will or His will? To make a name for ourselves or to sanctify His name? Have we been using those gifts according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? If we've been living according to the flesh until now, if we've been squandering His gifts in the things of this world, Jesus gives you and me this parable today in order to help us to grasp that our time is coming to an end and we need to prepare an accounting. He wants us, like the steward in the gospel, to sacrifice our commission, our possessions, our time for others. This is the way that we will be taken care of in return, so that those we help may remember us and be our supporters and welcome us, as Jesus says, into eternal home. The implication is that if we don't want to do the right thing simply because it's right, if we don't want to love others because we're Christian and we have a good heart, then at least we should do so because it's in our eternal best interest. Either we care about the poor and the needy, as the great Archbishop Charles Chaput of Philadelphia says, or we go to hell. Either we care for the poor or the needy, or we go to hell. We might not want to care for the poor or the needy, but we should do so. Like the steward in the parable, we're faced with the choice between trying to keep our profits or save our life. We cannot take our money and possessions with us as we go. The only thing that fits through the eye of the needle are acts of love. All earthly mammon will eventually turn out to be no more valuable than monopoly money. Jesus wants us to remember that the poor and the needy are our eternal money changers, who take earthly currency and turn it into something that moths can't eat, rust corrode, or the IRS can't confiscate in inheritance taxes. Jesus wants us to be as wise in the spiritual realm as greedy businessmen are in the material realm. If we use whatever God has given us in this world to take care of others, then at our judgment and after, they will be among those in heaven who welcome us to the Father's mansion. Jesus will turn to us and tell us that whatever we did for them, He took personally. Whatever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. In this parable, Jesus is telling us to use our heads, to be smart about salvation. Jesus' words are like a top-notch group of business consultants who come in to analyze our failing business, find out where the inefficiencies are, and design a business plan not only to save the company but make it thrive. The key, however, is not the plan. It's not the information. It's not knowing what needs to be done. It's having the wisdom, the courage, and the resolve to implement the plan. That's what Jesus is proposing to us today with urgency. Unlike in the parable, when we meet Him face to face, we'll have no time to return to fix things. If we've been selfish with our gifts, if we haven't been putting God number one, if we've been neglecting those left in ditches and on the side of the road, the time is now to use our heads to do so. who've been trying to compromise with a sin, with something that's obviously wrong, but which we're trying to deny. The time is now, not even tomorrow, to change. Now's the time for us to become as shrewd in storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven than Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, and Ray Dalio are to increase their fortunes on earth. Because we can't serve both God and mammon. We can't worship both him and the golden calf. We can't be led by the Spirit and live as materialistic consumers. We cannot be sons and daughters of the Eternal Father and seek to live as the prince of this world wants. Just as the steward in the parable couldn't try to keep all his commissions and win the favor of those who owed him, so we must choose between storing up treasure and pleasure here or using everything we have in this world to secure happiness in the next. This is a choice the rich young man was presented by Jesus and sadly refused to take. Today, Jesus, out of love, offers us the same deal, urging us to seize it and to obtain the pearl of great price. The Lord, who calls us to live by the Spirit as true children of God, is prepared to give us all the help he knows we need to do so. He's about to feed us with himself, by far the greatest treasure in the world. He's about to send upon us the same Holy Spirit who in minutes will convert bread and wine into Jesus' body and blood, so that the Spirit may renew us in our divine filiation and help us in prayer to cry out, Daddy, and live in accordance with that divine dignity. Today, as we prepare to receive Jesus, we ask him with the Father to send us that Spirit so that we might live as wise children of the light and imitate Jesus' way of wisdom. That way, when it comes for us to render an account for all the blessings of life we've received, Jesus may praise us eternally for acting shrewdly, and together with all those who have helped through sharing God's generosity as good and faithful stewards, might welcome us into the home where we will rejoice forever. This is the choice presented before us today. How will you decide?